Drapătișena, etechia cei părăcinții vei, Kamala dala dala jivana talamala, Baja hum hari pura nithi vrei. In this verse, Sri Govinda Das actually says that there is no bliss in the enjoyment of youthful life. Actually, he says it's like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. That's the direct translation. Kamala Dala Jala Jivana Talamala. This life is like if you have a drop of water on a lotus leaf, what happens, the lotus leaf has a waxy coating. I'm just explaining the example or metaphor here. And when the lotus leaf turns over, the drop of water is finished. In youth, a person becomes very lusty to enjoy all kinds of sense objects. The sense objects are form, smell, touch, and sweet method or advancement of scientific civilization in of these five senses. The younger generation is very pleased with radio message and material news and sense gratificatory songs, to smell nice scents, nice flowers, and to touch the soft body or breast of a young woman and gradually touch the sex organs. All of this is also very pleasing to the animals. Therefore, in human society, there are restrictions in the enjoyment of the five sense objects. If one does not follow, he becomes exactly like an animal. Thus, in this verse, it is specifically stated, Kamakashmalajitasaha. The consciousness of King Pranjana was polluted by lusty desires and sinful activities. In the previous verse, it is stated that Pranjana, although advanced in consciousness, lay down on a very soft bed with his wife. This indicated that he indulged in too much in sex. The words, Navam Boyoha, are also significant in this verse. They indicate the period of youth, from age 16 to 30. These 13 or 15 years of life are years in which one can very strongly enjoy the senses. So those of you of that age, take advantage. When one comes to this age, he thinks that life will go on, and he will simply continue enjoying his senses, but time and tide wait for no man. The span of youth expires very quickly. One who wastes his life simply by committing simple activities in youth immediately becomes disappointed and disillusioned when the brief period of youth is over. The material enjoyments of youth are especially pleasing to a person who has no spiritual training. If one is trained only according to the bodily conception of life, he simply leads a disappointed life, because bodily sense enjoyment finishes within 40 years or so. After 40 years, one simply leads a disillusioned life because he has no spiritual knowledge. For such a person, the expiration of youth occurs in half a moment. Thus, King Pranjana's pleasure, which he took in lying down with his wife, expired very quickly. Kamak Kashmala Chitasa also indicates that unrestricted sense enjoyment is not allowed in the human form of life by the laws of nature. If one enjoys his senses unrestrictedly, he leads a sinful life. The animals do not violate the laws of nature. For example, the sex impulse in animals is very strong during certain months of the year. The lion is very powerful. He is a flesh eater and is very strong, but he enjoys sex only once in a year. Similarly, according to religious injunctions, a man is restricted to enjoy sex only once in a month after the menstrual period of his wife, and if the wife is pregnant, he is not allowed sex life at all. That is the law for human beings. A man is allowed to keep more than one wife because he cannot enjoy sex when the wife is pregnant. That's not for all of you. If he wants to enjoy sex at such a time, he may go to another wife who is not pregnant. These are laws mentioned in the Manu Samhita and other scriptures. These laws and scriptures are meant for human beings. As such, if one violates these laws, he becomes sinful. The conclusion is that unrestricted sense enjoyment means sinful activities. Illicit sex is sex that violates the laws given in the scriptures. When one violates the laws of the scriptures and the Vedas, he commits sinful activities. One who is engaged in sinful activities cannot change his consciousness. Our real function is to change our consciousness from Kushmala, sinful consciousness, to Krishna, the Supreme Pure. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Param Brahma Param Brahma Paritam Brahman Ram. Krishna is the Supreme Pure, and if we change our consciousness from material enjoyment to Krishna, we become purified. This is the process recommended by Lord Chaitanya as the process of Chaito Dharpana Marjanam, cleansing the mirror of the heart. Vayayamam Rama Manaswa Kama Kachvada Chetasaka Janardami Vajendra Yati Kham Kham Naham Vayaha. So, Omagala Timidanga Shah Gudanjala Shlakaya Chakshur Meditam Yanakasai Shigarve Maha. So talking about this point the Prabhupada makes in one of the last paragraphs about polygamy. Polygamy means one who has many wives. Poly, anyway. And there's another one called polyandry, which means a woman who has many husbands. So that's the opposite side, or the complementary side. So some devotees take these different statements by Prabhupada out of context and think that they can have more than one wife. Of course, Krishna, he was able to have more than one wife, more than two wives, more than three wives, more than four wives, five wives, 16,000, what is really wives. And each and every one had a palace. And not only that, there were 10 children by each wife, 10 boys. Not only that, Krishna woke up every morning for Mangalarti. And he meditated, his Mangalarti was he meditated on himself. Pretty good Mangalarti, isn't it? None of you should do that. Meditate on yourself. So anyway, and Krishna had, you hear about these romantic things in Krishna's household life. Krishna had some wives who were submissive and other wives who talked back to him. It's interesting. Of course, Rukmini, she was submissive. Even when Krishna suggested she get a divorce and get remarried, she thanked him. She didn't argue with Krishna. Whereas Satyabhama, when Satyabhama saw how attached Krishna was to the gopis in Vrindavan, she started to become very angry, went into her anger room in the palace, and Krishna had to chastise her. So you see these different types of wives Krishna has. And, variety. What do they say? Variety is the mother of enjoyment. So you should not imitate Krishna. Different devotees wanted to imitate in the past in ISKCON and have several wives. Actually, there's one of them who's living close to Sabu Sabu. We won't mention his name. He's on like his 10th wife. And everyone is thinking he knows about Krishna's philosophy very well. But he has so many children by different ladies. He's just like, what is it? How can someone take such a person seriously, isn't it? So anyway, so devotees sometimes they would go to Prabhupada and say, Prabhupada, I want to have another wife. And Prabhupada had said, if you do that, you can't come to the temple anymore. Because our business is to reduce sex life, your business is to increase it. So, the point is, why are you so cruel wanting to reduce someone's sensual enjoyment? Well, as I mentioned yesterday, there's many reasons. One is for the good of their health. Because according to the Ayurveda, when one enjoys himself in such a way, it's like losing tons of blood and just like one's life airs become depleted. There's so many physiological reasons. Another reason is it puts one in the mode of ignorance. And then one is just absorbed in bodily consciousness, an illusion within an illusion, basically, one cannot get out of the illusion. And then another reason is there's a karmic reaction. If you break the laws of God, you get a reaction. Just like if you break the laws of the government, you get a reaction. Just like we were the other day, it was with Jai Jagadish, and he was picking me up from the Harinam. And he broke the laws of the government. He was parked there. And then we get pulled over by the police. Of course, he was able to talk his way out of it, he said. He said, we have some nice person from India. He's come all the way from India, the great sage. And the police said, okay, Hare Krishna. So, but you can't do that with the laws of God. You know, when Yamaraj comes, you just say, well, I had a beautiful wife, you know, just. And the Yamaraj says, yeah, I understand. <It's okay. laughs> Imagine that, you know. And or like sometimes in India, you know, the police, we were going to one holy place with our bus, and they wouldn't let the bus in. And I told the driver, just bribe the police. So we just bribed the police. And they let us in with the bus. So anyway, you can't do that with Yamaraj. You know, Yamaraj comes and you say, you know, here's 100 rupees, Yamaraj. Or $100. You know, Yamaraj likes dollars more than rupees. So you can't do that because there's certain laws. You either follow the law or you don't follow the law. You know, it's a strict guideline that's there. So, of course, the only way to get out of being punished is to become a devotee. Because when one becomes a devotee of Krishna, all the karma becomes eradicated, even the parabdha karma. Parabdha karma means what you're suffering from at present. Like your ugly body, or your disease, or legal problems. Anyway, it all becomes finished, corrupted karma, just by even namabhashchan. Of course, one should not take advantage of the chanting, and that's, of course, a sin on the strength of chanting, and continue thinking that he can chant Hare Krishna and then do all sorts of nonsense. But there's a reaction to everything. For every action, there's an equal opposite reaction. That's the laws of nature. It's like the law of gravity. You can't counteract the law of gravity. You can't say, if I throw a ball in the air, I want the ball to stay high. You can't do that. So these are the laws of nature. So, for these reasons, it's important for devotees to understand the law. And ignorance of the law is no excuse. Just like if you could have told the police, well, I didn't know you were supposed to park. I wasn't supposed to park here. They said, I don't care. It's not an excuse. That, oh, I didn't know what the law is. And then, anyway, fire will burn whether you know it or not. It's going to burn. So it's the physical law of nature, a material law of nature. Anyway. So these are the reasons for restricting one's sensual enjoyment. And not only the sex life, you know, eating. If one eats too much, then guess what happens? You get sick. And you're taking more than your quota. That's also illegal. I hate to tell you that. It's illegal to eat too much. Because everybody has a quota. Ishivashamidam sarvam yakin jajivajam jadat. Tenajitena bunjira magyapadkishvitara. Everything is under control by the Lord. And he gives everybody a quota. Of course, when you first join the Hare Krishna movement, you should eat too much. That's all right. Because you've got to wash out all the garbage that you ate for the last 20 years. I remember we joined the movement, and at that time they used to spice the food with a lot of chili peppers. And as a result, everybody had diarrhea after they ate. And the devotees would always say, you're getting purified. This is the Christians purifying your intestines. Anyway. So So anyway, so you know, eating too much or accepting more, this is not proper. You know, we have a quota. Just like in the earth today, people are eating meat. Okay, that's sinful in and of itself. But just by eating meat, they're causing a devastation in the earth, you know, cutting down the rainforest, global warming. They're taking more than their quota, and they're injuring other living entities. Not only the animals that get killed, but the other human beings. There's literally millions and millions of people are starving to death because of the inequitable distribution of food today. When the people became vegetarians, the earth could supply 10 times food for 10 times the population we have today. So there's a quota. Everybody has a quota. And if you don't respect that quota, other people are hurt. There's a sinful reaction, etc. So this is a very important karmic principle. So the point is, how does one become free from lust? Because the reason we're taking more than our quota is we're lusting. Lusting for food, lusting for sex, lusting for, you know, God knows what else. So how does one do this? Of course, Prabhupada makes reference here to the first verse of the Shushasthita. That's one process, of course, cleansing the heart. And then also Prabhupada said that if one wants to deal with lust, the method is worshiping the deity. Sometimes devotees think that they don't have to worship the deity. They can just chant Hare Krishna. Now, yes, that's true for one who is actually on a higher platform of devotional service. But we have these two tracks in our devotional service. What is it? Pancharatrikivedi, Bhagavatvedi. Two tracks. Pancharatriki means waking up early, rules and regulations, come to Mangalarti, worshiping Tulsi Devi, living in a holy place. That's nectar devotion for those of you who don't know. And Bhagavatvedi is Srimad Bhagavatam, which we're listening to now, preaching Krishna consciousness, chanting the holy names, going on Harinam, maybe holy, anyway. If you're chanting Hare Krishna. Not a mundane holy song. But anyway, so this is Bhagavatvedi. So both tracks are necessary. Just like you have trains here that taking the sugar cane to the mill. The two tracks. So both tracks are necessary. So if we see the beautiful form of Krishna, then this lust goes away. Just like that story, I think I told it here before, but it bears telling again. The story about Ramanujacharya and this person named Dhanur Das. Dhanur Das, servant of wealth. Anyway, so Dhanur Das was very lusty, just like this king Pradranjana. He was very lusty for his girlfriend. He wasn't yet married. He's like a modern person, you know. Girlfriends, boyfriends. Like I've been talking to the devotees that when we preach to people in the Western world, every week they introduce us to another girlfriend or boyfriend. And sometimes the girl has a girlfriend, sometimes the girl has a boyfriend. Anyway, so it's very interesting. Keeps life interesting. So this Dhanur Das, yes, it's so interesting. You don't need to hear jokes anymore. I mean, life is so funny. But the real life is better than a novel nowadays. So anyway, so this Dhanur Das, he was so much enamored with his girlfriend that he was treating her like the deity. He would fan her with a peacock fan and a chamara. Do any of you men do that with your wives? Ladies, you should ask for that. You should say, my dear husband, you haven't done an arty to me. Yeah. Anyway, so he was doing arti to his girlfriend. And not only that, He was having a rapiata with his girlfriend. Well, she wasn't on a rap, it was a pariata, I'm sorry. She was walking, he was holding an umbrella over her head. And because it was the sunshine, he didn't want her to get too much sun on her beautiful hair. And so he was offering arti, you know, with the chamra, walking backwards. That's pretty good. And just love. Completely absorbed. Much more absorbed than our pujaris are in the deities when they're offering arti. Pujaris are thinking, you know, when is this going to be over so I can eat, get to my room, is this like eating? But he was, actually they have this philosophy now called mindfulness. Anyone said about this before? No. It's a new, well, it was used to be part of yoga, mindfulness. That means be aware of what you're doing, when you're doing. You've heard about this, Gargoyle? You should learn about this. Well, you're here at TG, you don't need it. So mindfulness means just being absorbed in where you are right now. And of course, it's good when you're chanting Hare Krishna or doing the deities. But usually when we're chanting Hare Krishna, we're absorbed in what we're going to be doing later on in the day. So, that's offensive chanting. And so he was absorbed, anyway, completely in samadhi. He had surpassed all the other stages, you know, yam, yam, asana, pratyahara, dharana, jhana, samadhi. I mean, completely absorbed in his girlfriend. Wow, I wish I had so much love. Because actually the devotees pray sometimes. They're just like a young boy is attracted to a young girl is attracted to a young boy. I wish I was so attracted to Krishna and saying what Krishna's holy names, isn't it? It's so spontaneous. It's amazing. It's amazing how spontaneous young boys and young girls are. Careful, Arjun. So, it's just like, wow. And all they're thinking of, oh, I can never stop chanting Priya, Priya. Oh, my dear Priya, 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 Priya. Priya, 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 Priya. Priya. 24 hours, Kirtaniya, Sadatiya. So, anyway, so he was absorbed, you know. And at the same time, you know, Ramanujacharya, his disciples saw that, and they started to make fun of it. And Ramanujacharya said, don't make fun of it. I want to hear what's happening. So he asked, please bring the guy here. So the guy comes to Ramanujacharya. And Ramanujacharya asks him, why are you doing this? And basically the guy says, because she has beautiful eyes. Nowadays people, the women, they change the color of their eyes. They have these contact lenses, and they can make them blue or green, like that. And so they become more attractive, right? Actually, another point is, Radharani had blue eyes, just to let you know. So, anyway, even the men are doing that. I was thinking I'd become a more popular guru if I had blue eyes. So, so he said that her eyes are beautiful. And Ramanujacharya, instead of blasting him, her eyes are just made of bile, mucus, air, yuck. I remember sometimes devotees giving Sunday feast class, talking about how beauty is skin deep, and they said if you peel off the skin, then you get disgusting. So you should just like cut the skin of your girlfriend off and hold it. Anyway, so people would give classes like that. But that never made anyone detached. Because our method of detachment, Raso Vajram Raso Pishapam. So therefore, lies. And this man was thinking, where is that girl? And so that man, gentlemen, to see the deity in Sri Ramana, and he looked in his eyes, I mean, sometimes it's described by biology. The reason his eyes are covered is because if anyone sees biology, they'll never want to leave. Another reason they say is because biology doesn't want to see the rascals that come to pray with him. You've heard both things? It's both, you know, you see the eyes of biology are covered. So anyway, so he saw the eyes of the deity, Sri Ranga. And he went, wow! This deity is... Krishna's eyes are more beautiful than my girlfriend's eyes. Wow! And he fell in love with Krishna. And then he got married to his girlfriend. Because he was dharmic. He became dharmic after being attracted to Krishna. So that's our method. You can't just smash material desires out of people. It just doesn't work. You've got to give them something nice, like persona. Like if you want people to give up eating meat, you give them nice tasting persona. Like even you can make some meat substitutes sometimes. Like Prabhupada talked about jackfruit. You know, you have jackfruit here. Lanka? You know about Lanka?
Yeah.
So you give them meat substitute. Prabhupada said he was serving it at the wedding of one of his daughters, and everyone thought they were eating meat. So you give them nice tasting prasadam. I remember in the early days of the movement, the prasadam, everything was cooked in ghee, not oil. And it was Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur who said, if you give your servant something, rice cooked in ghee, he'll never forget it. So every day, you know, twice or three times a day, you were eating ghee prasadam and becoming happy. And so, therefore, people gave up eating meat. I mean, it's not that everybody will give up eating meat just because you tell them killing is bad. You have to give them... They're thinking of their senses because they're on the lower platform of consciousness. There's different platforms of consciousness. There's anamoya, pranamoya, jnanamoya, vijnanamoya, anandamoya. So many people are just on this anamoya platform. You know, like the jungle. Isn't it? In the jungle. And there was this once this movie, Tarzan. Be Tarzan, you did. Anyway. People are like that. I mean, especially in Kali Yuga. People are like, ooh. Like monkeys, like the monkeys you see in Vrindavan. Not even as fortunate as the monkeys you see in Vrindavan. So you satisfy their senses. And like dancing. Alright, you wanted to go to the disco to dance? I heard the disco closed down here in Mombasa, because nobody would go. The nightclub closed down. So you want to go to nightclub? We have a nightclub. You channel, like yesterday. It's like a nightclub. I was in a nightclub, you know. All the ladies go, and then back and forth, back and forth. Ooh. I said, I've never seen this before. But, you know, you give them, you make a Krishna conscious. Music, you know, if they like guitar music, give them guitar music. You know, they like preaching to the people here in Fiji, they like guitar music, give them guitar music. I like taro, cooks food with taro, and, you know, whatever. The whole point is to give them, because most people are on the anamaya pranamaya platform. You know, the food, bodily symptoms, you know. That's their platform of consciousness. You have to understand that. They're not on the anamaya platform. Who here is on the platform? I mean, not here. But who in society is on that platform? Well, who is it? What is bigger than the Jnanamoya platform? Everyone's on Anamoya Pranamoya. They're like little kids, you know, like a little baby. You can't preach to a baby. Can you? His little baby. Mommy, mommy. She's not your mommy, you're not that body. I remember in the early days of Gurukula, the teachers would preach to the 5-year-old kids who were crying for their mothers. Mommy, I want my mommy. Radharani's your mother. Krishna's your father. Nobody's your father. They just cry more. Oh, I got hurt. You're not the body, you're not the body. There are little babies crying. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor the dead. You quote from the Bhagavad Gita. Crazy! Just understand, everybody in Kali Yuga is on the Anamaya and Pranamaya platform. You know, food, music, little philosophy. Little philosophy you give them. And when they advance, you know, later on, they can give a little more philosophy. Then, you know, it's a question of advancement. I was listening to a class where Prabhupada was saying this morning that a conditioned soul cannot worship Radha and Krishna. That may come as a shock to you. You have to be a pure devotee. We're worshiping Lakshmi Ram. So there's different platforms of moods or service according to one's level of renunciation, level of advancement in devotional service. So that's our point. So don't get heavy with people who are trying to enjoy their senses, who think their wife is beautiful, or eating too much. I mean, every time I tell someone they're eating too much, they just eat more. I gave it up. You know, sometimes I'm concerned because someone is a little overweight. But I don't tell that to people anymore because it just gets them angry and then they eat more. But I don't. I just don't get into it anymore. So the same way, to get people to give up the things they're attached to, you give them Krishna, something nice, you know, the holy names, prasadam, dancing to Krishna. That is our process. Anyway, so poor King Paranjana is suffering here. And so we should not allow people to suffer. We should give them Krishna consciousness in a way that's palatable to them, in a way that's acceptable according to their sociological position and their culture. Okay? So any questions or comments about King Paranjana? Any men want to have... No. Lord Ram. Or... are like Bhima, Deva Brat. All right. Any other questions? Or any questions? Yes.
When you say the Tulsi Pranam Mantra, in the last we say, Krishna Bhakti Puri Vishakrutayana.
Yeah. The reason I say Vishnu Bhakti is because Prabhupada said that. Everybody started Krishna Bhakti after Prabhupada left the planet. If you go into the Veda base, because there is a tattva, Vishnu tattva. Krishna is Vishnu tattva, although Vishnu comes from Krishna. So Tulsi is offered to all Vishnu tattva deities, offered to Lord Nrsimhadeva. Not offered to Radharani, of course. Offered to Lord Ram. You know, there's even Ram Tulsi, isn't it? So the mantra, the reason I say it like that is because Prabhupada gave me the mantra and I am accepting my mantras in disciplined succession. Sampradaya vihinai mantras te nishpala mataha. Anyway, I mean, it's alright if you say Krishna Bhakti, but the point is, I'm thinking of Prabhupada when I'm saying Krishna Bhakti. Just like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he wanted to change a verse in the Bhagavatam. Tatena kambam sujintam. Bhunda bhagavat katam yukam rajapapuram. Namaste jivayati. Bhukti padaye sudhaya. So anyway, so he became a great devotee by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was an impersonalist before. And there was this one verse in the Bhagavatam that says, Mukti padaye. The one who goes on tolerating everything and goes on serving Krishna with his mind, body, and lotus, gets mukti pade, or gets liberation, or actually, a better way to understand it is the lotus feet of Mukunda.
forgives the Vaishnava.
But anyway, he was hearing it as mukti. And because he had become a great devotee, he didn't like the word mukti anymore, which is all right.
Mukti, siddhikam, sakalaya, shanta.
Anyway, so he didn't like mukti because for most devotees, mukti means just getting out of the material world, not devotion. So he changed the verse, he tried to change the verse in the Bhagavatam, to bhakti pade. And Lord Chaitanya said, you know, I appreciate your sentiments, but it's not appropriate to change the Bhagavatam. So, anyway, I appreciate the Bodhisattva saying Krishna pade, but Vishnu. But that's the way I got it from Prabhupada. You can look it up in the Vedabase. You seen that, Garmini? In the Vedabase, there's a letter from Prabhupada that says the Tulsi mantra. Vishnu bhakti pade, sachi bhakti. I mean, I'm sure it's all right to chant Krishna. There's no problem chanting Krishna's name. But that's why I chant like that, okay? Does that answer the question?
This way. I suggest, what to advise to chant Krishna or Krishna?
Anyway, I already told you my sentiments. I received the mantra from Prabhupada. In a letter. Prabhupada didn't directly give me the mantra, saying, you rascal chant like this. You know, but it's in a letter to devotees, Prabhupada's instructions on worshipping Tulsi Devi. There's actually a book that's been put out by the devotees on worshipping Tulsi Devi. But actually, all over the movement, they started chanting Krishna, right? But why? Anyway, I just like to do what Prabhupada did. For me, my whole life is dedicated to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, chant it like that, I chant it like that. I'm not going to change the mantra. I mean, I may write my own songs like we were chanting last night about Krishna, which is fine. But as far as the standard procedures, I just want to follow Prabhupada. I want to be on the safe grounds of Krishna consciousness. Madanvi Savadanamate. I mean, to be cautious. So we should be cautious about changing things. I mean, I'm very liberal. You know, as far as once I step out of the temple room, I become very liberal. Probably one of the only gurus who would go with you on Harinam, like unholy, for 2 days. I mean, there's only one or two other sannyasis I could imagine to in the whole Hare Krishna movement. You know, so. And one of them is extremely eccentric. Anyways. So, you know, I'm very liberal, but as far as the temple worship, what happens in the temple room, I'm very conservative. Because these are the standards that Prabhupada set. So I do the things. When I perform a fire sacrifice, I do it the way Prabhupada did it. When I worship the deities, I worship the way Prabhupada worshiped the deities. I don't do too many fancy procedures. Anyway. That's my relationship with Prabhupada. You know, I learned that when I cook, if I cook for the deities, I cook the way Prabhupada cooked because I learned from one of Prabhupada's cooks how to cook. I learned from two people like Garga Muni and the people who learned from him, I learned from them, and also I learned from Shudhakirti how to cook. So I know how to cook the things that Prabhupada liked. Of course, I'm not going to cook them for you because I like to eat too much. Anyway, but you know, my own diet, I don't eat those things because I like to live too much. So anyway, so whatever, you all decide. I'm not going to impose my own realizations on everybody. But I just, you know, connects me with Prabhupada. My life is being connected with Srila Prabhupada. I mean, it's just like my whole life and soul is being connected with Prabhupada. So those things that Prabhupada gave me, I mean, it's part of my relationship with Prabhupada. So, I hope that's all right. What's that?
Yeah.
Lord Vishnu has four wives.
Yeah.
Lakshmi, Saraswati, Garuda, and Tulsi.
Buddha. Boom, Shri.
Shri. And Tulsi.
Yeah, Tulsi. He actually has more than that. Anyway, that's a Boom, Shri. Neil. Anyway, so. Krishna gets around. Lakshmi Sahasra Sata Sambrama Sayavaram Govinda Mari Krishna. Sounds like thousands to me. Lakshmi Sahasra. If Dwargadish can get around, Vishnu can also get around. And Krishna has unlimited gopis. Of course, there's primary 8 and 108 and 16,108 gopis, but even millions. Millions. Unlimited gopis. Yes. Anyway, so if you hear about Krishna with the gopis, then you lose a desire to have your own gopi. We have some people come to the temple, they hear about Krishna's pastimes, and they say, oh, I'd like to have girlfriends like Krishna or whatever. But your girlfriends have material bodies. I mean, just like there was this Vivekshena who was imitating Vishnu or Krishna, and he was dancing with girls in the middle of the night, some yogi, like that, and then Bhaktivinoda Thakur cooked him down. So our business is to love Krishna, then naturally Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayati Asubhai Ramya Yamcha Yoga. Then naturally renunciation. So we don't concentrate on renunciation. It comes automatically. That's an important point. So any other questions? Comments? Otherwise we got a schedule today. We got to fly away. Back to Dwarka. Suva. Now is Vrindavan. And what is Nandi? Nandi is Mathura. That would be Nandi is now is we. Here is Vrindavan. And then Suva is Dwarka. And Mathura is what?
Mathura is
city. Mathura, yeah.
Dwarka is
Dwarka. And Krishna's Dwargadish. Yeah.
What for the food? When the tasty food, the food is tasty, then we want to eat more and well. When the food is not tasty, then we don't care about
eating. You mean the food is not tasty, you don't care about eating?
Yeah, we don't eat much. We should eat.
You should have tasty food, don't worry about it. You should have tasty food. Talk to me in about 30 years. We'll talk about giving up tasty food. It takes time. Right now, eat to your full satisfaction. Have tasty food. Don't worry. Be happy.
You say why we discriminate
from
tasty
food? Oh, why do we discriminate? Because we're in Maya. That's right. We have to admit, if we're in Maya, we're in Maya. But when is Krishna conscious, when you offer them Mahaprasadam, they don't care whether they get a sweet or the sabji. But when it's not Krishna conscious, when you offer them Mahaprasadam, they think Mahaprasadam means only sweets. That's the difference. So don't worry about it. Right now, worry about what's tasty and not tasty. You worry about that. I'm not going to worry about it. When you're my age, we'll talk about it. When you're an old, retired boxer. No more boxing, though. Because many of these boxers, they get brain damage. Very common. Brain damage, and then they go crazy. Soccer players, too. Did you know that? Soccer players and different sports where they get head injuries. Because sometimes it's like where they're using their head, right? You hit the ball. And then by the time, some people, by the time they're 30 or 40, professional ones, they actually, some of them commit suicide, go crazy and things like that because they have head injuries. So generally these sports where you get, of course you probably wore something on your head, right? When you were boxing? No? Hair. Anyway, take care of the body, it belongs to Krishna. Your body is not yours. But you take care of your car, take care of your body. All right, we have to end now because we have schedule. All glories to His body.